Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, give us guidance as we seek your will and direction in our life. Give us provision and protection. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In history classes, we have learned about famous men in the past. Here are a few men who have famously said, divide and conquer. The father of Alexander the Great, Philip II of Macedonia, Caesar, Napoleon. In the last 100 years, there have been men who have used this maxim to conquer much and to kill many. In a subtle way, this philosophy is being used today with us. In a gentle way, we are all being divided. Our nation is being divided. But we have choices. If we lean towards division, or if we lean towards getting along. Now, getting along is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it is actually difficult. But it is better to get along than it is to be conquered. Ha! Yeah, maybe we will have to reach agreement or compromise on small points, but stand firm on your core beliefs. My core belief, it revolves around Jesus and those God-given principles of the Bible. Now, about being divided or getting along, long ago I went to some sort of a marriage class. I think there were 24 people in it. It was a big class. The instructors had us all get out of our seats and stand in the middle of the large room. The instructors asked questions, and if we very much agreed, we went to one side of the room, and we very much disagreed, we went and stood at the opposite side of the room. And if we had a middle view, we stood more or less in the middle, depending on our views. Of the 6 or 7 questions that were asked initially, extreme views were easy to be agreed with, and most people went to one side of the room or the other, and not so many people in the middle. But as the questions were defined and developed, we found that nearly all of us were in the middle of the room. The questions started out with kind of like liberal or conservative, and they went to a place which was believing in maybe euthanasia or something that it was extreme. But what surprised us all in that class was how close our beliefs were. The fundamental principles that we held were actually pretty close to each other, even though we started out on opposite ends of the room. So that was a lesson I took with life through me. I mean, with me. Even though we initially seemed to have different points of views, we all were pretty much in agreement. More agreement than we would have expected. So now here in the United States, today, our entire population is full of fundamental differences. And let's try to solve our differences peaceably, without a domestic war. If we ended up in a war, well, divide and conquer, we just might be conquered. I think of Romans 12:8, and it says something like, "If where it is possible, as much as it depends on you to live peaceably with all men. I see the principle of divide and conquer being played out over and over again in our society, in our country. In various situations, there's been choices that we do and we don't have. Our vote gives us a choice, but it doesn't mean that we are guaranteed an outcome. Sometimes our choices are even costly to us in time or in money. It's kind of like we can choose to speed, and if we speed, we get a ticket, and then we have to pay the fine. So choices have consequences, but there are all sorts of choices that we can have in day-to-day life, like should we buy GMO foods? Should pesticides be allowed? Questions like, what about aborted baby tissue being used as the base of a flavor enhancer? Well, all these things we do have a choice about. Is it acceptable to put just a little bit of mercury in your flu shot? And it's not much mercury, you know, probably less than the size of a BB, because vaccines, especially the flu vaccine, has thimerosal in it, and that's 49% mercury. So we do have choices, sort of. It seems like some things are forced upon us, and sometimes we have to make difficult choices, and choices have consequences. Often enough, our choices are kind of hard to make, but our choices do define us. Luke and Matthew, they both recorded Jesus as saying that we must take up our crosses and follow Jesus. I think that has something to do with the choices we make every day. Yeah, and sometimes those choices are not easy. We might think we are choosing and making a hard choice, but sometimes that's the way it is in the short run. It's a hard choice. But for the long run, those hard choices might turn out to be the easiest choice there was. So, in these days, we are seeing things going on in our world. We see volcanoes and earthquakes to continue. The Mexican volcano, Catapetel, it continues. And there's two new volcanoes in Indonesia. And there's one in the Philippines that's certainly going off. It is active. It's both beautiful and real trouble, the one in the Philippines. In a worldwide sense, volcanoes can greatly cool our Earth. And that happens when the ash in the sky blocks the sunlight. That would cause our crops to do poorly, which could lead to famine, starvation, and eventually even to war. Because when people don't have enough food, they not only do they suffer from poor health, but sometimes nations go to war to get food. Yeah, war. Speaking about war, you've heard about Hawaii. There was an emergency alert system that had a message sent over it. That message read, "Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." How very interesting. Well, the reports say that 5 levels of authorization must have approve any emergency alert message. So how can you say that message was an accident when 5 levels of authorization are needed to approve it? What would we do if we heard that threat? Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, or in our case, California, would we say? Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Well, that would sure get our attention, wouldn't it? I don't see how it could have been a mistake, especially if you consider that Japan had a very similar emergency alert go out over their airwaves in Japan. So it appears that there is some kind of high-level manipulation going on here. who knows what it was. I know the Department of Homeland Security has had schedules indicating that in the spring of 2018, you know, right about now, that they would be conducting drills. So we don't really know what happened, but we know something's going on. Is it to get the population all set up to be afraid, to be fearful? Now, remember that when people in general are afraid, they do things and they pass laws that they would not otherwise agree to. So remember that often repeated message in the Bible, fear not, fear not. It makes me think back to that speech that Winston Churchill gave. I didn't hear it in person, but I've heard it over the radio. It was during World War II, and he said, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." I think that's good for all of us to remember. Do not act out of fear, but you consider things with your reasonableness, and you figure out what is reasonable to do under the circumstances. Each one of us has a different level of understanding of what reasonable is and what our concerns are. And that is the beauty of freedom. We each have the freedom to speak and to do. And another part of this is that we have responsibility. We bear the consequences for our decisions and our actions, or our lack of actions. So I think that's the best thing that we can reflect on as these things happen right in front of us. And how can I not remember Hurricane Katrina that was in and around New Orleans a few years back? It made a big impression on me because I remember that for nearly 2 months, so little assistance was given to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And when the survivors of that hurricane went into the sports arena, it took them nearly 4 days to get bottled water supplied to those victims of the hurricane, you know, in that Superdome shelter. That was just hard to believe, but there it was. It happened. So here on the West Coast, it only makes sense to me that we recognize how important it is to have supplies right at hand, because one day they tell us an earthquake, the big one, will hit. And do we want to rely on government assistance, or do we want to rely on ourselves? Now, plenty of people tell me they rely on God for what they need. And you have to figure this out, my brother and sister in the Lord. You'll have to figure out what the answer is for you. Yes, we do rely on God. It's true. But He also has given us the means to provide for ourselves. I do notice that not so many churches and not so many Christians are storing up in a way that is to help other people. And I wonder what will happen if we ever do have a great need for food or for anything else, water, medicine. I think that storing supplies is only reasonable. So there are a few Christians who are storing up. There are a few people who are storing up. And I mean besides the federal government. And so who is storing up food for themselves and supplies for themselves? It seems like I said, the federal government is, and so are the Mormons. And as far as I can tell, these two groups are also storing up guns and lots of bullets to defend their food and supplies. I don't know this for a fact. Well, there's indicators. But you just realize there are people who are considering troubles in our future. And what are we supposed to do about this? Well, think about providing for yourself. And think, plan, and do. Now, I heard a report a few weeks ago that 25% of the Americans have taken or are taking steps towards disaster preparation. And yet, 35% of Americans have made no plans and have no provisions for disaster preparedness. So, it's just interesting. You will have to figure out where you fit in that question, in that situation. After all, we don't know what's going to go on in the future. Well, we don't know when things will go on in the future, but there are things that sure look like troubles. And we do look at the people who are the elite of our society, and we see them, that they are taking large and notable preparedness measures. So it's just a question, where are we going to stand on this one? What are you going to actually do? Now, the other part of this examination is, not much has happened in the last 100 years to upset our way of life, so why should we be concerned? Not much has happened in the last 100 years? Ha ha! Of course it has! There have been some large events. We've had the Great Depression. We've had several recessions. Giant inflation. 2 world wars. 3 notable wars, or even more, depending on how you count them. And then there have also been approximately 70 million legal abortions. We've got stuff going on. And all this while our government has taken gigantic steps to remove God from any areas of government or from the government schools. Yeah, it looks to me like things could get pretty unstable. Now, whether you're looking at it from a spiritual point of view or a monetary or worldly point of view, I'd say things could get pretty unstable pretty quick. But that's something we each have to figure for ourselves. Yeah, so what? What do you see? I see that it looks to me like our society and our nation is in a sense running off the rails, going into uncharted areas. Now, I can't tell what will happen or when anything will happen. Will it be this year? I've gone over the notes, and it seems like there's people who believe something will happen this year. Very strongly they believe it. And there's others who say, no, we've got another 6 good years. How long will it be? And what is it going to take for each one of us to have some provisions? I know how long it took me. It took me a while to get some grain for my basic provisions together. So it takes a while. And that's why I suggest you get started on your provisions right away, today. Start. Do something. Because we don't know when anything will happen. If it'll happen in 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years. Too many sixes there, huh? Well, a problem can hit us at any time and we just don't know when. But we struggle to look and to figure the things out. Last week I said that some people are saying that a collapse would occur in the second half of this year. Well, I certainly cannot predict what will happen or when it'll happen. I just see indicators, and that's what I talk about. I say, look out, buckle your seatbelt. There's just too many possibilities of things happening, whether it be an economic crash or a national calamity or an earthquake or a volcano or maybe an epidemic or a crop failure. There's just too many possibilities, especially when we take steps away from God. You know that. And on the other hand, if we do have such a calamity, maybe people will have more concern for each other. and that we will appreciate even the smaller blessings in life, and we would have a fuller relationship with our Creator God. See? Good things can happen, even for a bad situation. But if our nation were to have a calamity, perhaps a Christian revival would spring out of that event. It's happened before in history. Both in this country and in other countries, Christian revivals have happened when there have been seriously bad situations. Sometimes there has been persecution of Christians in recent years, and that has grown the Christian church. That's in these days and in Roman times and everything in between. So when I say Roman times, I mean after Jesus walked the earth. So there were amazing things that have happened long ago and in recent times. There's people who realize that there is truth in the Bible, and that truth has to do with God's love for us and His path to our salvation. Ha, yes, praise the Lord. Yeah. So, over the decades of my life, I have heard predictions of all sorts. They've been crashes and calamities and predictions for economic prosperity and good times ahead. All sorts of things have happened, but in a way, the real serious stuff has not happened, and I've wondered, just to myself, could there be a difficulty that is happening soon? So should I be concerned? Well, because I've seen when a nation turns from God, in historical terms, that nation has consequences. Now, those consequences can be the pleadings of God for us to turn back to Him, or it can be consequences, and some people would call those consequences judgments. There are different ways that things can happen, and I certainly don't mean I know what they are. But I know things have happened and will happen. We could have a rise of terrorism in our country. There have been things that have been concealed from the public, like murders and transactions of all sorts, which have gone on through our U.S. government, the power structure of it. It's been some bad things have gone on. And that includes the $1.7 billion that the United States had flown to Iran. All of it was foreign currency. It was all cash. $1.7 billion in cash. Do you realize how much money that is? Well, we have some kind of a grasp on how much $1 million is. But the amount that our United States government, under our ex-president Obama, sent to Iran was $1,700 million bills. $1,700 million bills of non-U.S. currency. That's a lot of money to send to a country that is proclaiming us as the great Satan. So, we have things going on. And we are under a constitution, but under that constitution, Congress controls our money and not the president. And in that case, it was the ex-president Obama who agreed to this transaction and saw that it got followed through on. So if our president has so much power that he can do this, well, it could be a good thing for the country, or it could be a bad thing for the country. Who knows what it means, but I know there's a lot of people who are so strongly supporting our President Trump now, and that's good. But I do get concerned about the powers that any president have, not just for this time right now, but it makes a precedent for our next president, like after President Trump? What'll happen then? We'll see. It will be interesting times for our country. Well, sometimes I make a mistake on this radio show, and last week I mentioned that there was a 2008 bailout, and three times I said that the correct number that it cost Americans, $700 billion, and one time I said the wrong number, $700 trillion. I do make mistakes. Oh, and another one I made last week was I said something about reading the Bible, and if you can't read it, God will give you grace when you hear the scripture read. Plus, I was referring to tithing, and I said God does not have a formula for that kind of a thing. And I realized, oh, how wrong I was to have said that God says. I really greatly apologize to you and to God, because my words were as though God was speaking, that I was speaking for God, and this was so wrong. And I apologize to you, and I really will be more careful to choose my words, because I don't want to do that again. So for all the people you hear, either on the radio or in person, be careful. Be careful because of the words that you hear. Consider that we are all men, and we all make mistakes, and sometimes we can say true things, and sometimes we make mistakes. We're all human, and we don't want to mislead anybody, either accidentally or intentionally. No, but sometimes mistakes are made, and you all have to be careful with what you hear and what you believe. So I will be more careful with my words, and I hope that you use all the discernment that you possibly can as you listen to anybody, including people on the radio. Oh, yeah. Well, I think of life sometimes, and I think of the all sorts of groups that there are who have a mixture of truth and deception, and they do it intentionally sometimes. They deal with deception every day. And we get to decide what it means and how we interact with the people and the projects or the projects that they're promoting, whatever it is. And we have to be careful and use discernment. There's things like GMO foods, like vaccines, like water fluoridation, global warming, all these subjects. When we look further into them, we find out that we don't have complete information, that decisions were made either by us or our representatives in Congress. And the full information was not there, but decisions were made, laws were passed, and now we have consequences because of it all. So we want to be careful of what we hear. We don't want to get involved with any plans of Satan or... There's a lot of satanic things that are going on these days. There's the deep state organizations, there's the satanic rings, there's pedophiles, there's maybe even you would call central bankers a part of it. It's just, there's a lot going on, and whatever that is, we have to be careful and use our discernment to try to figure out how we can either stay uninvolved from those areas or represent Christ as we go through life. We the people, or our representatives in Congress, have made decisions without enough information. And like I said, the laws get passed, and it seems like they never change. And we all pay for these sorts of mistakes with our time and our money, and even our health. And financially we pay. We are so heavily in debt. It's just boggles my mind in a way, because the debt is so great. Our national debt, $20 trillion. $20 trillion. Remember I said once, a million seconds is 12 days, a billion seconds is 32 years, and a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. That's just something so that we can grasp how great $20 trillion is. It's going to be difficult to pay that debt off, and yet that's what we want to do. Now, there's people who look on the bright side and say, oh, our economy is booming. Our stock market is rising and rising and rising. We will be okay. Well, why is our stock market rising? Who is willing to pay more and more and more for our U.S. stocks? The returns are not increasing, but the prices are. The returns are actually decreasing for the cost of the stocks. And in our economy, we're having thousands of retail stores closing their door. So who's going to buy our stocks anyway? And I know if you listen, you hear these things. One report says that our Federal Reserve has bought over $100 billion with a B. dollars worth of United States stocks. And so they're propping our U.S. stock market up. Another report I heard says that the Swiss Central Bank has $100 billion worth of United States stocks. And I think that must have something to do why the price of United States stocks are consistently rising. They just go up and up and up continually. Yeah, I think it's because if there was to be a stock market decline, the confidence in our entire United States economy would rapidly decline. And then the whole United States economy would collapse. And that would be a big trouble. So I know that there's some people who can only see that our economy is going to grow, but there are more and more people who are concerned that our United States economy is going to have problems. They cite the store closings, they cite our debt and our spending, which, by the way, they say has to grow in order for the system to continue. Debt and spending have to grow. And if it were to stop, our economy would completely stall. And then we would fall into a recession. So, or worse. It's just an amazingly interesting thing. People recognize that there are signs of trouble, such as the 95 million people who want to work but can't find a job, and the 41 million Americans who are accepting food stamps. People do recognize the economic dangers, and this might be why Bitcoin is continuing to soar in its values. Some people see Bitcoin as a safe place for their investment instead of the U.S. dollar investments. I know that there's not a lot of people who own a great deal of Bitcoin. It doesn't have a big base of owners. And maybe this is why the price of Bitcoin has increased so much. Because of the small number of people who own it. I know I won't be one of those people who own it, but a lot of people like it. There's also some who say that the Chinese are allowed to take a certain amount of money out of their country each year to have foreign investments, and a lot of that Chinese money is going into Bitcoin. So that's another reason for its continuing increase. Well, it's just a question. I'm very, very cautious about it. And it still could go up more, though. Because if there's only a few people who own it, they can bid the price just as high as they want if only there's a few people who are actively trading Bitcoin. But like I said, I know I won't be one of those people. So what do we do about the just-in-case situation? Like I say, budget and get some basic supplies. I know I'm doing that. I already have some basic supplies. Wheat, sugar, oil, and salt. Those are my basic supplies. But I think of my one-year supply for two people. It's not going to be quite enough because I consider here I am on the radio talking, and there just might be a few friends who stop by, and they might be hungry. So I think 1 year of food probably is not enough. And you also have to consider that if there is a recession, depression, big situation that happens with natural disasters, the growing season will take a while to get into the habit of producing. So if you're growing wheat or something else, well, the first year you grow it, it might not be the crop you expect. And can we really grow as much as we want to eat anyway? I'm not sure, but we can always do something. So I've been thinking that a year of food is just not quite enough when you consider that you're going to be sprouting wheat and you might have pets to feed with it and you might have friends come by. So everybody has to start someplace. And like I said, I've been doing this for a while now, and it's easy to get just a little bit at a time. But there's people who see things happening rather quickly now, and so I want to urge everyone to get some supplies, even though, sure, we don't know if it's months away or years away that we have a problem. But it could be rather quickly. I know at the beginning of 2017, last year, our Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen predicted that the Fed would begin selling some of its stocks at the end of the year, which is just about now. And that, to me, would indicate the beginning of a market decline. So if the Federal Reserve sells some of its stock and the Swiss Central Bank sells some of its U.S. stocks, well, we just could see a different situation with our stock market. Not that I can predict, but I just see the possibilities. Now, we don't know what the actual numbers of any of the central banks are, because the Federal Reserve, the Swiss Central Bank, all the central banks are in reality private corporations, and they don't have to release any of their financial information. All of them are in this situation. In the whole world, they are all private banking corporations, and so what they are is, in a sense, they serve the government, but they also have limitations on what they have to disclose. We only get some information by studying the minutes of their annual meetings, or maybe some Federal Reserve person makes a statement. So there's little details that get out and are discovered, and so we have to kind of take that information and examine it and see what it really means. But whatever the situation is, we do see that there's several possibilities for a stock market decline, and it might be from certain central banks selling their stocks, and it might be just from market conditions. But as you know, I see these indicators and I talk about them. Do I know God's timing? No. Do I know the economy's timing? No. But I see things that get my attention, and I pass them on to you, because there's so many things that just seem to be at play in the world there's lots of situations, and any one of them could develop into a big thing. I remember David Wilkerson's prophecy from a few decades ago. He said that the decline would start in Germany and move to Japan and the United States. And I just look at Deutsche Bank. It has been for many months now. In fact, it's been years that they have been on the verge of collapse. So I see this, and I'm inclined to pay more attention to his prophecy because of the situation with Deutsche Bank. The prophecy says that there would be a great worldwide recession. Interesting. But when, I surely do not know. I just see the indicators, and they kind of line up. Speaking of indicators, we do have major banks all around us that are in trouble. Like there's Citigroup, there's J.P. Morgan, there's Chase, UBS, Barclays, and Deutsche Bank. They are all in trouble, and that is to say, maybe I shouldn't say trouble, but they have all been fined by the United States Justice Department. For all these banks, their fines total $300 billion. $300 billion, that's a lot of money. So obviously they were doing something either wrong or illegal. We don't know quite what this really means in the long run, but it's a possibility of problems. These fines, by the way, have just been delayed for 5 years until they have to pay them. 5 years. So does that mean we have 5 years more than we thought? It could be. But it's just such an unknown situation. These banks, in a sense, are too big to fail. But what does it mean? Are we going to bail them out too? It's just interesting. Oh, it's interesting. We live in interesting times, and we don't have the true answers, but we do have some indicators. We can only guess at what our future holds. But I do have thoughts, and that is to say, buckle your seatbelt, because anything here could happen. Future ideas, all sorts of things can happen. We can look at what the indicators are. You don't have to believe what you hear, that's for sure. And there's things that are going on that are just plain, well, they're wrong. So what could happen? Anything could happen. Big, little, all sorts of things. And that's why I just say, prepare. Make some preparations. As we interact with the world, we so often use our cell phones and we use Google. Google is cooperating with our federal government. And they both have a joint effort to make permanent records of everything that we say, either on audio or video searches, in our texts, in our conversations. It's all on permanent record now. So this information is available. I'm not sure what it quite means, but if anyone were to become a person of interest, it would easily be understood what that person was about in their personality, their character, their habits, and they could easily be predicted with what they were going to do. It's extremely accurate, the logarithms that they've developed. So what would that turn into? We don't know. Could we be using drone technology to watch a person or even to consider them an enemy of the state? What if they were to become, what if our morality and our principles were to change? If there was a famine, would we consider people to be useless eaters? Would we consider people to have threatening thoughts? Oh, and not to mention if anyone was a firearm owner, then they would be closely looked at. Well, who knows where this could turn out to be, but I do like to look at the what ifs. And it doesn't mean anything bad or negative is going to happen, but we should look at the what ifs for just so that we can examine it. And I know there's plenty of people who say, well, they can look all they want. I've got nothing to hide. But perhaps you might one day be considered a non-contributor, that is, a useless eater. That could make you an undesirable person. And it's just something we have to be aware of. Things can change. Remember we used to watch TV? Well, now it can watch you. It's been that way for 25 years. Our TV sets have been capable of watching us. Our computer, our cell phone is capable of watching us. I'm not sure what it all means, but I think we should be aware of as much that goes around us as we possibly can be. Both liberals and conservatives might find these things of interest because anyone can be targeted. Anyone. I know I pick up a lot of these little details and why and how. It's a good question. I know that I've paid attention to these things for years, or I've read them or I've heard them, and I remember the little things that I have heard, but I wait until they're confirmed from a different source. I don't just believe everything I hear. But I do have to recognize that there's things that are sensible and things that are not sensible. Do they make sense to some other person or other entity? That helps me to decide how much weight I give to it as to whether I am inclined to believe the direction or the actual statement. So I talk about it. I talk about these things because, a lot of people find them interesting, and I'm glad you do. I hope that it benefits you. There's just a lot of things going on these days. I do think about if we were to have a crash, that there would be many people who would be shocked at it. Remember 9/11 when that happened? Lots of people were in shock. They were unable to function. And that's something that if we do ever do have an event, whatever it would be, economic or natural disaster, well, there's going to be a whole lot of people that are in shock. They will be completely stressed. Now, these days, how do people deal with stress? Often enough, it's by watching TV. Often enough, it's by drinking alcohol. And also, people are very good at talking things out. Well, maybe not so much these days because we have electronic devices. And would they be working if there was a severe disaster? I don't know. But we have to recognize that people do cope with stress, and in a disaster, people will be in shock. And they will need a way to cope. And how do people cope? Well, I suggest that music and singing is a good way to deal with stress. And of course, I suggest Christian songs. So a part of your preparedness supplies can be extra Christian hymnals so people can sing along. So you can discover songs. And of course, have extra Bibles available, because faith in Jesus Christ is really our primary support through the difficult times. We need Jesus. But singing can help too. And there's some other thoughts that I have. What else is good if we do have hard times is a cheerful attitude. Overcomes lots and lots of difficulties. Now that's not easy, but cheerful attitudes help a great deal. And we will want to remember that when we are dealing with people. At least have an initial contact that is pleasant. if at all possible. And then what is another thought about difficulty times is always be ready to improvise or adapt. Whatever you have at hand to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. And then the people around you will be the biggest factor in how you deal with situations. The people around you will help determine whether what you're doing is a success or a failure. Now, is there any real answer to this? No. It's just that you have to consider all these things and do the best you can to line up the situation around you. So just consider those things, because we never know what'll happen. That's for sure. Yeah. I know there's people who consider that our grid could be going down, and I know that that's a real possibility. It might be remote, but it is real. And if the grid were to go down, our lives would change immensely. We would have a huge adjustment. So, to me, it just makes sense to have some real simple and inexpensive preparations for that just-in-case situations. Each one of us knows what this would mean for us, how we can prepare. Each one of us has a different understanding. But let's be a community and let's care for one another. We can trade what we have with each other for what we need. Think, plan, and do. I know that there was that congressional task force a dozen years ago. Dr. Peter Pry put it together. He was tasked by Congress to do that. And he says that if the entire grid went down due to an EMP or due to a CME, that is electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear bomb or a coronal mass ejection from the sun, that we could have a year or a dozen years without electricity. And we have had CMEs before. They have happened, of course, 1859 was the big one, but there have been other ones since. It's just that they haven't had direct hits upon the Earth. At that time, there was a newly strung telegraph line along the East Coast, and it melted. It melted from the coronal mass ejection, and it dropped drops of melted copper into the grass, and it started fires. So if our grid went down for a year, he says that 60 to 90% of Americans would die of one thing or another. And it would take a year to 6 years for the electrical to be restored. So these are just things. We want to take steps. We want to be prepared. We surely do. I know there was I heard a nurse that talked about some observations of if there was a grid down event. And her observations were based on third world experiences, and said if there was no electricity, that the electrical devices that people depended on for medical aid would not be running either. So they would have a great difficulty, or worse. And then if a grid down did occur, 3 to 6 months, there would be more and more people who would be dying from malnutrition. And all that time, sanitation would be a growing problem. We would see diseases flourish, like tuberculosis, hepatitis, cholera, typhoid, and a handful of respiratory diseases. All these things we want to be careful to prevent, and the biggest thing we can do is wash our hands, have cleanliness. That's important. So in a difficult situation, we have to remember that we are all individuals, and we all have our individual characteristics. When we think about being prepared, we should make sense of what are, or make use of what our individual characteristics are, and recognize God made us to be who we are. And we want to use that to think along the lines of our personality and prepare in all those ways. God made us. We are who we are. And we can still have joy of life even in the difficult situations. I know a few days ago I saw about 300 Canadian geese flying south for the winter. It was just lovely to see and watch them, to hear their distant honking and talking to one another. It was a sight which I so very much enjoyed. I know there's some people who would want to call those geese in and have one of them for a holiday meal, but people are different. I wouldn't want to do that. I'd like to watch them fly. But different things are for different people. And for organizations, we do that different too. For survival situations or preparedness situations, same thing. Some people like to cook food. Some people like to keep our cars working. Some people like to keep tools sharp. Some people like to be with people, and others like to be alone, so they could be the night watchman. We should cherish the different people, and also, above all, cherish our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has a valuable place within a community, now and if we ever do have a disaster that hits us. We all have value, and we all have to remember that we work together and we try to resolve any problems that are in front of us with compassion. Sometimes we have to choose a leader. What is a leader's task is to recognize people's talents and put them into an order so they can be effective in what they do. We can reestablish order always. And I like that the Founding Fathers used biblical principles when they established the United States of America. I think that's a good example, and we can look at that too. We can see what it is that we can do. So thank you for listening to the broadcast today. I always don't mind if anyone helps. I'm grateful for any donations which you send to me. But the pamphlets I send out are absolutely free of any cost to you. And I urge you to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope so that I can send you a pamphlet. These pamphlets are intended to get you motivated and inspire your own ideas. And of course, I have ideas in them too. But it's to think about that just in case natural disaster situation and the kind of things you just might want to think about. As for donations, I do appreciate donations, but I'm more interested that your spare money goes towards your preparedness needs, your family's preparedness needs. That's important. If you'd like that free pamphlet, my mailing address is John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And, of course, you can listen to Christ Today again, the past episodes on christtoday.org. And I want to thank you for listening again. Until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.